Digital Salon Season 3.
Получаете ли вы открытки, или что для вас открытки, или может вы вообще сейчас уже такого никогда не...
Птички!
Или вы никогда не пользуетесь открытками? Нет. И когда вы получали последний раз открытку? И вообще, что такое открытка? Почтовая открытка.
Почтовая открытка, я думаю, это нечто, что-то стародавнее, но очень красивое.
I was born and raised in Almaty, Kazakhstan. In my childhood, approximately at the age of 4 or 5, I was convinced that the news are an invented story. At the time, we were living at the corner of Lenin Street and Sadpaev Street, just off the hill where the TV tower was located. I remember asking my mom what was that long, pointy structure, and I vividly remember that my mom answered that it was the place where the news were made. It stayed with me for some years to go, and I was convinced that the news were literally made within that tower, invented, directed, and filmed. Now, many years later, I realized that this is actually not so far removed from how the propaganda functions. Let us play a game. I would like you to guess what object is in front of me. Let me describe it for you. It is a tangible and straightforward means of communication, yet it is an object. It finds its home and has its destination, and it travels distances by railway track and plane. It sees different places, and on the way it is held by many hands. It is typically consisting of a piece of sturdy paper with a printed image or photograph on one of its sides. The other side is often blank and holds a space for a tiny sticker that sometimes has very symbolic meaning. The object is large enough to depict detailed image and yet small enough to fit into a pocket or a bag. It also has bright sunburned colors, as if it's been held under the sun. Its slightly worn off texture gives it a feeling of nostalgia, probably because the object is exposed to the passing of time. Or maybe it undertook the journey while being kept in a confined space and undergoing a movement. Maybe it crossed large distances. This one has a handwritten message on the back of it. The letters are not too small and I can easily read it. They're also in a language that you won't understand, but I do understand it. It says, «Горячо поздравляем вас с праздником Победы над Германией! Искренне желаем вам счастья, мира, радости и долгих лет жизни! Директор меховой фабрики, председатель правкома, председатель главной организации ветеранов. Датировано 9 мая 2004 года. Ярко-красная почтовая марка на открытке иллюстрирует герб СССР». Perhaps you got the word veteran. It is associated with the war, you'd rightly think. And the card speaks about the victory in the war over Germany, Germania. However, why is it dated 2004? And what victory over Germany in 2004? What relevance does this card and the date have in 2004, along with the object in focus? What do they have to do with the contemporary world and social political situation, along with the events that we're witnessing today? But wait, we haven't finished the little riddle. Would you like to guess the name of the object that I'm holding?
It's a postcard.
Can I ask you one more question? Or maybe it's gonna be 2-1. Do you think a postcard is an object primarily belong to public or private domain in society? And do you think on either of those fronts it can cause harm to one or the other? Shall we explore these questions together? As a medium, postcards are designed to evoke a sense of place or a memory. Most commonly, the image on the front of the postcard depicts a notable attraction, a landmark or a significant iconographic image that sends a message. Romantically viewed, this visual representation allows the sender to share their sentiments and their experiences during travels, with which the recipient is transported virtually to the depicted destination. The handwritten message from the sender adds a personal touch, making it more intimate and meaningful the digital communication. Considering that the card as an object travels from destination to destination and is produced outside of the private domain and potentially carries a message shared with anyone who takes hold of it, the object of the card expands the privacy of domestic and personal. It enters the discourse of the public and perhaps even the urban domain. A as a form of communication that underlines an attempt at connecting people, a postcard, part sentimental and part utilitarian, becomes an opening metaphor to the context of the current day events that have redefined the family relationships in many Russian-speaking post-Soviet countries. As illustrated by the research of Lydia Pine, postcards, the rise and the fall of the world's first social network, postcards are vessels of imposed upon society messages.
Picture postcards become a way of sort of putting yourself, I think the same way that you would post an Instagram selfie of like, hey, here I am in front of this. All right. So I think of postcards as technology, and technology is something that is using a tool to do a job. And for me, I look at the postcards and I say, these are artifacts of communication. They're artifacts about a lot of things, but they're artifacts of communication. And we're communicating with each other by the billions, as we've talked about. And you think about, I sort of visually imagine having all of
precursors to social media as we know it today, a highly politicized virtual public scene between public and private spheres, and is highly influential in shaping public opinion. Postcards are sort of an older siblings of social media posts, an image with a short tag and a strong message.
All of these billions and billions of postcards sending and receiving, and I sort of imagine like a map of the world and all of these different connections between peoples and geographies that postcards are making. And I look at that and say, that is a social network because it is connecting people together.
Understanding the liminal space between the personal and public and diving into the history of messages that result in the cracks within these two domains is ever more important today. The episode attempts to question the role of such a small-scale object and their formal language in framing the current moment of crisis, a moment when the war in Ukraine has polarized the society and has drastically influenced the lives of many people in many former Soviet countries employing the popularized and state-infused narratives, or in other words, through propaganda.
Maybe somebody start to search something about me, and I think it will be best to make it anonymous.
As part of this episode, we have invited a historian from Russia who will remain anonymous to the listeners in reality of the current day repressive politics of Russia.
You are a history teacher, and you are, like, that's actually the convenient way for you to speak to public in actually laying out the historical information to school children, for school children in an accessible way. Maybe you could actually start with just walking through the subject matter that we decided to talk about and just maybe putting it out for us in the context of political, social, historical narrative.
I think that the postcards with the celebration of 9th of May, it's really interesting and as Lenin said, the little picture that can explain us a big situation. It's a translation, маленькая картинка о больших подробностях. And
May 9th. The holiday was established by the decree of the Presidium of the USSR Supreme Soviet on May 8th, 1945. On the first Victory Day celebrated in 1945, at 6 a.m. sharp, all of the loudspeakers of the country were reading out the decree of the Presidium of the Supreme Soviet of the USSR announcing May 9th, a Victory Day. That evening, Moscow was lit up by the victory fireworks, a grand spectacle with thousands of anti-aircraft guns firing 30 victory salvos. During the first 20 post-war years, only one Victory Day parade was on June 24, 1945. However, on May 9 of every year, central and local newspapers published celebratory editorials, held gala evenings, or celebratory trips and sang war songs on stage and at the homes of Soviet people who watched these concerts on public television. In subsequent years, Victory Day became the second most important national holiday after the anniversary of the Great October Socialist Revolution, and with the construction of monuments dedicated to the victory, new traditions emerge, laying flowers, garlands, wreath, rallies, theatrical performances, sports competitions, and races. Military parades and fireworks resumed in all of the hero cities. War veterans were invited to schools and colleges, meetings were organized at factories, and they were warmly congratulated on the streets with words and flowers. Since the early 2000s, Victory Day has become arguably the most important holiday in terms of historical significance. Since 2005, Guards Ribbon became a new attribute of May 9th, a symbol of heroism, courage and bravery. And since 2012, there has been a new tradition that has matured in the hearts of people, the March of Immortal Regiment.
Because the time of the lesson is very short, near 40 or 45 minutes, I really like this kind of little examples in little pictures, and through them it's okay to explain the whole meaning maybe of the such process as transformation of propaganda, of transformation of the meaning of different words, different concepts, and through the history of the celebration of 9th of May, the Victory Day, we can see that the first one, it was...
Let's look at the postcards in front of us. The first one is from 1948. Its background is sky blue with a large number 9 in the center of the card. Within the number 9, we can see a large-scale Soviet emblem that shines like the sun, with Kremlin depicted within the center. Below are the branches of wheat with red ribbons tied to them. The top of the card features the Guards ribbon that symbolizes the victory, with dates imprinted 1945 for the victory year and 1948 for the year that's card's designed.
Just mention, yeah, we won, so on. Let's go to the work again. It's only just a mention. Yeah, 9th of May, the star, the Kremlin.
The second card is almost entirely red, standing for the Red 60s, Army and official Soviet color. The sign May 9th is the Victory Day is written in the lower right corner. The image features a Soviet soldier with numerous awards on his chest. The illustration is very graphical. It is hand-drawn image where the figure of the soldier in the military uniform is holding the flag, but also somehow reminds of a red curtain, revealing the background element of the bright golden sun. The soldier holds the pole of the flag and is holding a weapon. This card is dated 1966.
The Kremlin, go on. During the 60s, it's begin a new process because enough time have passed through the from the 1945. It's 20 years already, and in this 1965 there was a first military parade on Red Square. In Moscow, and the we can see in these postcards also that it's the figure of the ordinary man appeared, and in the Moscow Leonid Brezhnev opens in the 1967 the monument of the unknown soldier. There was no monument of unknown soldier before the 1967. Yeah, and in the
third 70s, card presents the image divided into two parts. The dividing element of this card is the Guard ribbon, with three awards medals featured on top of it. Behind the medals, the card shows an illustration, a hand-drawn image in the style of an imprint of a soldier proudly walking towards the viewer. The soldier is of a grand scale. He holds a sword in one hand, and with another hand, he carries a child. Behind the soldier, numerous fireworks illustrate the victory of the Soviet Union. The main illustration is bright red. The card says, May 9th is Victory Day. It is dated 1975.
And in the 70s, when Leonid Brezhnev have been the ruler of the Soviet Union through the old 70s, also we can see the figure of the man. It is not about only man, but it's about the state man, the soldier, Soviet soldier.
The third card is from the 1987. Even though this card features many of the same elements as the other cards, fireworks, red prevailing, red colored elements, this card is very different from the rest. It has a sense of lightness and joy in it. The card's background is white with a blue sky as a graphic element radiating from the center of the card to its sides. On top of the fireworks, on the left side of the card, we can see white pigeons, symbols of peace and freedom. Many flowers on all sides, and the central image is the red Soviet flag. The card has a guard's ribbon and says, May 9th, Happy
third,
Victory Day.
The fourth postcard in this compilation, it's a very interesting one because it's the time of perestroika, the time of big changes in Soviet politics, in Soviet economics, in Soviet everyday life. And I think that this one can really make the nowadays Russian короче, застрять, что непонятно, что вообще это такое. Stuck with many symbols because we can see the not only the Georgievska ленточка, да, pigeons of the peace, the stars, flowers, also the state, but it's not only the state. The Russian, not Russian, the Soviet flag is one of the many symbols here.
The next card is from the 1999. The image is quite formal. It is a photograph or a collage, and there are no hand-drawn elements. We can see a golden background with a waving Russian flag that takes up almost the whole card space. On top of it is the current Russian emblem. The card says May 9th is the victory day.
Because what we could see in these postcards from 1999, we could see the words День Победы, the victory day, but the new Russia symbols, and if these symbols were in the World War II, these symbols were the symbols of the people who doesn't agree with the Bolsheviks, who fight with the Soviet Union on the side with Hitler. It's, I talk about such people who known such a collaborators the history of World War II, and it's a kind of a really postmodern because it's like when you I don't know how to explain in it's like we asked what is this color, and the color is black, but we talk white. No, it's okay, супер взаимоисключающие вещи. Ну, то есть это либо то, либо другое, но здесь это соединяется и не критично в итоге в сознании усваивается как что-то, что ну так и должно быть. Ну да, День Победы, ну да, мы же победили, а мы кто, Россия, а вот такие у России символы. И в итоге происходит вот такая вот совершенно ну, шизофреничная с точки зрения исторической какой-то достоверности символика.
The most recent card is from 2010. It is exceptionally eclectic and created in the format of an internet meme type image. Crudely photoshopped, we can see a child on a military head with the Soviet symbol featured on the head. The child holds his teddy bear and takes up half of the card. The other half of the card is given to an eternal fire, a symbol of remembrance. The card is filled with information and has both ribbons featured in it, guard's ribbon and Russian flag. We also see the dates of the Great Patriotic War, 1941 to 1945, and a sign that says May 9th. On top of the image, in the very center, we read, wishing you a peaceful sky over your head, happy victory day, have a warm spring.
For something some flowers, we have burning numbers, burning dates. It's a very, from one side, it's very maybe... С одной стороны, вроде бы какой-то цельный образ. The
То есть все в принципе склеено неплохо, но как бы это, если как раз разбираться, видно, что оно именно что склеено. То есть from the other side it's just a big mutant collage. As for the scientific approach to the history of World War II.
No, for me, yeah, I just want to say that it's interesting also, like, for this kind of, like, evolution, or I guess the mutation, as you call it, of the postcard. Like, it's only the first one that's in 1948 that says, like, it kind of specifies that the victory against what it says, that it's, like, the victory day against the fascist Germany. And then I think, like, this kind of direct message of what was won is getting lost and just becomes more abstract. I don't know if it's kind of related, because yeah, it just becomes the victory day, but victory of what is kind of like not as specified.
This podcast is brought to you by the Digital Salon Editorial Board. Danielle Honzalik, Rebecca Smith, Olivia Arena, and Daw Tikin, in conjunction with UCLA's City Lab and Urban Humanities Initiative. We would like to thank Gus Wendel, Jacqueline Barrios, Dana Cuff, Gustavo Leclerc, Rain Laborde Ruiz, Martin Brennan, and everyone else who made this podcast possible. We would also like to thank our peer reviewers for their time and dedication, Charles Livermore, M. Marinoff, Jacqueline Barrios, Mario Ceballos, Shane Rayner Roth, and those who wish to remain anonymous. Thanks for listening to the Digital Salon podcast. New episodes are released every Thursday. We hope to see you then.